two of them a day, so it'll take us about 4 weeks to get through the 9 unbreakable laws of network marketing. And that's what we'll go on to after we come back from our July 4th holiday. And don't forget, don't holiday and don't, you know, have too much fun in your holiday, because you're going to be right in the middle. The July 4th holiday ends up right smack in the middle of business period 7, and you only have 2 business periods to do this incentive. So you still got to accumulate those 40 points. And I know a lot of you are procrastinators are really going to be in trouble, because these periods are running really fast. In fact, I said to my people, I said, do you realize we're already one week into the period 7, so if you haven't gotten any points yet, we've got to get on the bandwagon and jump on and get some points. So time to collect those points so you can win that incentive to go to Denver. All right, so that's our game plan for the next 4 or 5 weeks on Monday training calls. Let's kick off and talk about teamwork today. And the reason I want to talk about teamwork is absolutely imperative in Manatech. It's absolutely imperative. I tell people everywhere I go, I preach and teach it. And some of you have teamwork going on in your local areas because you have associations that have formed. But a lot of times those associations are formed with only one purpose in mind, and that is to bring in speakers. And I'm taking a whole new approach here to give you, open your eyes to possibilities so that you can come from possibilities around what a team can look like for you. Why do we need to establish teams in network marketing? Well, first and foremost, each one of us have different strengths. We can't be everything to everyone. We have strengths and we fit in different personality quadrants. And some of you are familiar with the golden retriever, the beaver, the otter, that kind of whole series, or some of you have been through some Clemmer training and you got the promoter, the controller, the analyst, the supporter. You know, there are 4 major personality quadrants, or what we call communication skill quadrants, that are out there. And most of us have a strength in one of the 4 areas. We definitely have a higher percentage of one versus the other. And perhaps on one of my training calls, we'll train on the person. Would you guys like a personality quadrant training on a Monday call? It's a really neat training. Yeah, it's fun to do. It's really a fun training to do, so maybe we'll schedule that in the upcoming weeks too. But the interesting thing is that we all have certain strengths and we all fit into different personality quadrants. And yet, in Manatech, in network marketing, we sign up to do network marketing and all of a sudden there's this expectation on us, because it's our business and we're out here alone, that we're supposed to be, number one, the controller of the business. In other words, we're the chief executive officer. We have to manage a business, which means we have to put, you know, organizational structure, foundations involved, delegate, all that stuff. We have to be the controller, so we have to have those kind of skills. And a lot of us don't have great organizational skills. Trust me, that's probably the biggest lacking aspect of most people who get involved in Manatech or in network marketing, because they feel like, wow, this is a business about personal freedom. I can do whatever I want whenever I want. I'm like, time out. That's why I put together that set of systems CD that's just awesome out there, that helps you build your bookends and helps you get some foundational structure in your life so that you operate on a business day instead of on a wild and free and crazy day every day of your life. Okay, so controller. So we're expected to be controller, organized detail. Then we're expected to be promoters. And we're all expected to be promoters because we all have to go out there and share the gift. We have to go and talk to anybody and everybody and share with everybody. And so we all have this concept that we have to be promoters. Then we all have to be analysts, because when somebody looks at you and says, could you tell me the details of the compensation plan, some of you just totally go south. But they get frustrated. Your downline sometimes get frustrated with you because you don't understand the comp plan and you're not able to discuss with them at any given level what the different aspects of the comp plan are. And so we're required to be analysts because we need to know the comp plan, but so many of us, that thing is so foreign to us, we just like go south the minute somebody even mentions the word compensation plan. And then the 4th quadrant is supporter. We all need to be nurturers and supporters, because that's the only way you're going to really get retention up. That's the way you're going to keep your people motivated. That's the way you're going to keep your consumers on the products, because you're going to have a willingness to call people and find out how they're doing, how's their family, how's their life doing, what's going on with the products. That's called nurturing. And some of us are horrible at nurturing. We just want to go, 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 go. So you can see how you fit in one of those personality quadrants in a big way. Each one of us has a major percentage of our personality that fits into one of those quadrants. The goal is to be as balanced as we can in all 4, but that's just not reality. That's not a reality situation. Most of us have strengths in one area. And all of a sudden in network marketing, we're expected to be all 4. And that's one of the reasons why you need to build a team, because you want to accentuate your strengths and you want to delegate where you have weaknesses. And you can't do that in network marketing if you're supposed to be everything to everybody. if you look at other businesses, if you look historically in business in the world, you look at what happened in the 1800s, really, is when it really started. The 1800s, when they went from entrepreneurial businesses to large corporations. And that transition took place in the 1800s, where you started breaking away from entrepreneurials and started building corporations. And then in the 1900s, it even escalated at a geometric rate. And one of the things that happened in corporate structures is they were able to specialize labor. In other words, they could take the people who were the analysts, the people that were detail-oriented, and they could put them into the accounting area of the company. They could take the promoters, and they all ended up in the marketing area. They took all the nurturers, and they put in supporters, and they put them all in customer service. And they took all the controllers, and they ended up being management. So you can see how we were able to specialize in labor throughout business, and what was the results of that? Incredible success, efficiency of scale. You were tapping into people's greatest strengths and achieving the greatest results by letting people operate from their greatest strengths. Well, that is so contradictory to network marketing. And why are we taking a business principle that's so ingrained in stone and been so effective for hundreds of years and saying it doesn't apply to network marketing? I'm suggesting to you, make it apply to network marketing. That's a way to be very, very effective and efficient in your business. Don't deny it, you know, business truths, business concepts that have worked for hundreds of years just because you have a different model. Try to see how do I apply that to the model we have to get the best possible results. The other thing that teamwork does for you is it helps you with time management, time efficiency. And we know that time is our only limited asset, so we want to be able to leverage off of other people's strengths. We leverage off of marketing strength right now. Leverage is a concept in network marketing. When we talk about leverage, it's always about marketing. We're leveraging off of other people signing up other people, and that's leverage. So we make income and commissions off of other people underneath us who are signing up people and making income off of them too. So that's how our, but it's really the marketing aspect. Why aren't we not leveraging off of other people's strengths besides just their ability to market? And that's what we have to start looking at. How do I leverage off my downline with other traits, specific characteristics or specific gifts or specific talents that they have? I need to start leveraging off of those too. And how does that work? And that's what you need to do. You need to start developing and working on that realm. Accountability is another crucial aspect in order to move forward. Accountability, mentoring, coaching, all these things are absolutely crucial. You will not move forward in this Manatech business without a system of accountability. And that's another thing you need to set up. That's why teamwork works so well, is through teamwork you can set up accountability structures. So all of these are reasons why. And I always love to teach in all my trainings and all my Monday calls. If I can tell you the why you need it first, you can set the foundation and the springboard for having a desire to go after it and make it happen. So there's just a bunch of whys, and there are plenty more, but those are just a group of whys you so desperately need to set up teams in your organization. Some of you can start looking at doing some self-analysis, and right away we can acknowledge how good of a team player are we. And some of us came from backgrounds that didn't really support teamwork. I will suggest that the lawyering industry is not one that's really big on teamwork. In lawyering, we were all very individualistic, egocentric, win-lose philosophy. We had a totally different approach to life. And, you know, for me, getting involved in network marketing took a major shift in who I was and what I learned all the rest of my life. I had to really develop skills around teamwork, loving on people, sharing from the heart, you know, understanding the word vulnerability is just an absolutely terrific characteristic. You know, in law, we think the word weak and vulnerable just are the most pathetic things on the face of the earth because we don't ever show weakness or vulnerability. In network marketing, you want to be vulnerable. In teamwork, you want to be vulnerable. You need to show needs for yourself and the weaknesses you have to help other people be able to support you. Because if you have leaders, if you're trying to grow leaders underneath you, you better allow them to support you in ways. You can't always be the Rock of Gibraltar. You need to appreciate them for the contribution they make to you and acknowledge them for that contribution. That's critical in terms of building leaders because then they get greater self-worth and self-value. in their contribution in your life. And every single time people work with, I work with people in coaching, I learn through coaching as well as they do. So it's just a benefit. It's a win-win philosophy. But you've got to get that. So look at yourself a little bit in this analysis and say, where do I need to work on myself to be a better team player? Because that's an important part of this process. What does teamwork look like in network marketing? And I'm going to suggest to you, it's only your imagination that limits you. In other words, you got to get outside the box. You can make teamwork look any way you want to, so just get creative with it. You can even get a little group together, a brainstorming group, and say, what is this going to look like for us? And it doesn't matter how big or how small your community is. Get a group of Manatechers together and just do a brainstorm session. What is teamwork going to look like for us in this community because we are so committed to the mission? But one of the things you've got to get rid of is you've got to get rid of your competitiveness. You got to get rid of the concept that there are only so many people in your community and you don't want to work with the person cross-line because, you know what, you're fighting every day to get the next person because there are only so many, and my gosh, if he gets them first, then I don't get them. And, I mean, you know, that's so self-centered. It's so scarcity-minded. You got to get rid of that. You got to be able to release that, and you got to commit to the mission. And the two of you together will make unbelievable music where the two of you competitively will just self-destruct. You'll destroy each other in the process. So look at it as 1 plus 1 equals 10 instead of 1 here and 1 there equals minus 1. Build on a structure that's going to build for the whole mission. Teamwork is most effective in your own downline. I mean, because then, you're working with people and you don't get the competitive route of, you know, who's got whom and all that kind of stuff. A lot of that stuff gets by the wayside, but a lot of times you're not able to do it. So you have to search out, especially in smaller communities, even in larger communities. I know there's some great teams going on in Chicago. There's great teams going on in San Diego. You do cross-line work. You get together as a team. A lot of this sometimes starts out as Manatech associations. But I'm going to suggest that a lot of Manatech associations are too limited in what they try to do. There's so much more they can be to the people in the area, but they try to limit themselves to just scheduling a meeting here and there. Well, maybe that's the way you start, but look at all the different services you can possibly offer. But cross-line is incredible. I mean, when you have four people together and you go, just in holding meetings, what does this look like? Well, you get somebody from each different quadrant. The promoter is the one that's out front running the meeting. They're great. They love to be promoters. They're motivators. They love to be in front of a crowd. That's where they feel perfect. So put your promoter on stage. Your supporter can be the greeter. He's the one that greets everybody at the door, and he's the one that handles everything. The analyst is the one that takes care of financially planning everything and making sure the money's collected, keeping track of the details, making sure that, you know, you get all the brochures in. Everything's handled that way. And your controller's the one that manages it all. Just make sure, and it's kind of like the overseer. Gets the general overview of the plan of when the meeting's going to be, the schedule of it, and then just delegates and makes sure everybody carries out their separate tasks so nothing falls through the crack. So you see how these four personality quadrants can support each other in such a phenomenal way, and they don't have to be in the same downline. They can all be cross-line from each other, but it makes events happen. And it's just so much easier for you to tap into other people's strengths versus trying to be all four of those things. That's what's so exhausting. Sometimes when I travel, I come across associates, and they just look at me, and they're exasperated. They go, this is too much work. I put so much effort. I do. And I'm going, why aren't you delegating? And the number one reason why those people aren't delegating, they'll come up with 100 excuses as to why they don't delegate. Oh, these people don't follow through. They don't do their job. And I go, excuse me, why aren't you delegating? You've got to step up and start delegating. It's you who want to be in control. It's you that have to have it perfect. It's you that have to have it look a certain way. It's you that are unwilling to budge on what it has to look like. I mean, look at the constraints you're putting on it. If you don't start delegating to people, no one's going to show up. I mean, no one. I don't mean show up to the meeting. I mean, they're not going to show up in terms of being responsible because you're not willing to release different responsibilities to them. And that's what you need to do as a leader. You need to start delegating. Delegate. Is it sometimes going to kick you in the head? Absolutely. But you know what? That's a learning process for everybody, and you move on. But you don't give up, and you don't keep taking everything on yourself. You've got to set up a team, and you've got to work as a group together. And that's what you need to do. So it's most effective in downline, but it definitely can work cross-line. I see it everywhere I go. I am a big advocate of it. In fact, I've got a group tonight. I'm heading out to a small town in Texas, and I'm doing a meeting. meeting. And I have a gal there who's just dynamite. She's one of my new leaders, and she's just doing great. And she sent me an email. She goes, Mary Jo, do you think it's okay if I join forces with this other gal who happens to be in Marshall Howard's downline? I said, absolutely. Work together. Do things together. Plan together. Make things happen. Make meetings together. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I advocate it all the time because you have different strengths. And what fun it is to be able to have somebody, a camaraderie among other Manitech associates on building this business. You can also build a team across country, but I don't really highly suggest that because I think you forego a lot of opportunities. You need to have more of a local team built because that's more effective for you. You, again, utilize people's strengths. When you build this team, don't try to fit square pegs in round holes. Analyze and get a list. Have everybody contribute. Say, okay, what does everybody like to do the most? Where do you have the most passion? What activities do you have that are most enjoyable for you? And get a consensus of where people view themselves. Don't have one person take charge because your controllers are going to want to jump in that meeting and just control the whole thing. But what you need to do is you need to have somebody in charge, but you don't need somebody to be in charge and just force down people's throats what their assignments are. It's, here's the list of things we need to do. What do you feel most capable doing? And you allocate based on where people feel their greatest strengths are. That's going to create the greatest results. Not assignment, but choice. Allow people to choose where their strengths are. And then always have a team coordinator. You have to have somebody in charge of the team, because if you don't have somebody in charge, no authority, no effectiveness. And don't get into this whole ring theory of authority or ring management theory and all these things. I love these people come up with 18 different theories of management that no one's in charge. I go, are you kidding me? You're going to create chaos. I've seen chaos created so many times, I just say, you know what? I kind of go back to my biblical background. You know, the whole thing was authority. Even, you know, when God set up authority between God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, and the authority of who's the head of man? The head of man is Christ. Who's the head of woman is man. Authority is a consistent principle set up and established that's what allows us to effectively operate. It's the most efficient system to have some system of authority. That doesn't mean the person's in charge of who does what and everything. It just means you have somebody to look towards who's kind of managing it. And I'm going to suggest the person you want for that job is going to be the one who fits in that controller quadrant because they're going to be most effective. Do never put a supporter in charge as team coordinator. Some of you like to do that because it's not always the job that you want, but if you put a supporter in charge of team coordinator, they're so concerned with everybody liking them that they're not going to get anything done. So be careful of misusing people and their strengths and putting them in the wrong position types. You'll sometimes figure that out after a few months, but it's easier to figure it out up front. That's why it's probably good for us to do a personality quadrant analysis on this call so everybody can get it clear whose strengths are in what quadrant. Okay, how do I build a team? Now, the other thing you want to do is, too, make sure you outline duties. One of the main reasons why MANA associations sometimes don't run very well is because the expectations aren't clearly defined. When you build a team or a MANA association, you want to make sure expectations are outlined. You want to make sure they're written, they're outlined, they're detailed, so that people understand what's expected of them. If people get expectations outlined and clearly detailed, then they're effective with them. If people don't have them outlined and detailed, then it's all based on who remembers who said what, when, where. You don't want to do that. You want to have structure that works. So make sure you outline expectations for people. And it's not a hard process. It's a simple process. How do you build a team? What criteria do you use? Well, one thing I'm going to tell you is, whatever you do, don't ever take prospecting away from anyone. You want everybody in the world to be prospecting. I don't care who you are in network marketing. I don't care where your strength is, where your personality quadrant is. Everybody has to share. That's mandatory. Sharing the gift, sharing with people, and it doesn't matter if you're an analyst, a controller, a supporter, or a promoter. We all have capability of sharing. For some of us, it's a little bit more outside our comfort zone, and for others of us, like our promoter quadrant, that's all we ever want to do is share, because we love people. We just thrive on people. of course, we have a focus problem in that promoter quadrant, but other than that, it's something that everybody has to do, so don't start delegating that. But when you start looking at what criteria, you want to look at the business builders in your local organization. Who are the people that are trying to build the business, who are saying they're business builders, who really want to make it happen, who want to get to presidential someday, or maybe executive? Everybody doesn't have to have a motive or goal to be presidential. But meet with those business builders and start looking at what their talents are. Categorize what the talents are. Have people contribute where they really work. You're going to find people who love artwork or they love design work, and you can have those are the people that are going to do all the flyers for every meeting you have. Whether they're going to attend the meeting or not, they just become your flyer person for the local area, and they support the business that way. Then you're going to have people that just, you know, love to manage. They love to, you know, be in charge. They love to manage. That person could be your team coordinator. Then you're going to have people who love to, you know, maybe nurture people and love to go out. You might get that person to be the one that does a lot of the follow-up work and does a lot of the, you know, puts in place follow-up procedures and programs that help support people doing that. You know, so each one of the ones you want to look at, what are their specific talents? How can they contribute best? You're going to have somebody who loves money, the analyst ones. They love to manage money. Well, they could be the one that manages the funds if you have a local fund for your MANA association. I got a little child in the background. Could I get somebody to star 6, mute that child out? Can somebody hear? Somebody who has a child in the background, could you star 6? Star 6 on your phone, please. Obviously, they don't know how to do that. I will star 5. Okay. So building it. So lock them into categorizing talents to make sure that you have people in the right slots so that they're doing the work they're most qualified to do, and they can utilize their talents to the greatest level to support everybody. And that's going to take understanding personality types. Again, controllers, analysts, supporters, promoters, so you know how to slot them and what their greatest gifts are. You could also allow people to spawn off outside their gifts because their goal is kind of to be more balanced in our personality with the personality quadrants. But you want to acknowledge people for what quadrant they are in. The other thing that's really important is you want to evaluate core values of the group to make sure all of them are basically coming from that same core value structure. So you can find people that you're going to be able to work with, and some people you're not going to be able to work with. And sometimes this is tried and true. And I know we've had problems with different MANA associations around the country when you get the wrong kind of people involved, because, you know, network marketing attracts all kinds. And I really believe we can step up and help everybody grow into being a better person. But when you get people that are very negative, if you come across people that are always about negative and they always focus on problems, that's when you need to step up and you need to say, are you open to some feedback? And I always love this. That's appropriate terminology. You don't just go after people and tell them, this is how you, are you open to feedback? Always ask people. Get permission before you start giving feedback. And when you give feedback to people that are negative in your life, you don't tell them, this is how you are. This is what you do. You don't start pointing fingers. What you do is you start from, this is when you do things like this, this is how it makes me feel. So you base it on your reaction to their behavior. That is much less offensive to the person and allows them to see how their actions create results that perhaps they don't want to be creating in life. It's a much better, softer approach to getting people to see how ineffective they are rather than just telling them they're ineffective. Does that help some of you and make some sense? Because a lot of us, we come across negative people and we want to go, oh my gosh, I'm right, and we start gossiping about them. Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't help them move forward. And your job in this world isn't to avoid negative people, it's to help negative people become positive people. That's what our role is. And if we can step in and help people move in a direction that makes them more positive or takes them out of what's holding them back, that's what we want to do. So if you happen to get a group of core people that are in your area and you got somebody who's really negative and sarcastic and kind of, then maybe you take the time and you say, you know what, let's go to lunch. I'd love to give you some feedback. And see if you can get them to recognize. And then maybe as a group you say, you know what, she recognizes it, she wants to work on it, so let's keep her in the group and let's support her in taking movement or moving forward to get rid of this negative approach or this cynical approach or whatever it is that she has going. And that's how you work with those people. You bring them forward, because we're only as strong as our weakest link. That's really my philosophy about life, in everything I do. So I always am trying to step into people's life and impact them at any level, wherever they are, to try to bring them forward. And that's the approach you should take, too. If you can't move the person forward, if they're stubborn as all get out, then you need to move the person out of the team, because they're going to, you know, it's kind of like the bad apple in the bushel. If it's not workable, it's not workable. And that doesn't mean they can't participate in all the events you plan. It just means don't booby trap or sabotage your team because of your need to be liked or your need not to be confrontational. You've got to grow an effective team, and you've got to be selective in who that team is. And if people who are negative or people have other personality traits that aren't very, becoming, are in that team and you find it unworkable, you need to work with that person to see if you can help direct them with proper feedback and growth and experiences, or you need to move on. And that's sometimes a hard thing for us to do, but don't sabotage the team. I've seen team sabotage because of this, because everybody's worried about wanting to be liked. They don't want to be confrontational. They don't want to be the one that talks to the person. I mean, it's like ridiculous. You're destroying a whole concept, a whole team, because of one person in the group. I've seen the same thing happen in mastermind groups. Same thing. Mastermind groups totally annihilated because of one person. And it's because honest, open feedback isn't being given. People aren't stepping up to the plate and being totally honest on feedback. They rather hold it because they're afraid. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to vent. Oh my gosh, people. How are you ever going to support this person in movement, in going forward? Whether you believe or not, the person's going to accept change or accept feedback. If you ask them, are you open to feedback, and you give it to them, that's your contribution to their lives. So evaluate that. But understand that you want to make sure core values are pretty consistent in the group. And the way we do that a lot when we get teams together is establish goals. And goals come from core values. What are the core values of our group, and what do we believe in? We believe in integrity. We believe in honesty. So if you can set forth a statement, a mission statement for your team, it's great to have a mission statement. And from that mission statement, you then develop goals. What are the goals of your team that you're setting? And make sure everybody knows why you have the team together. So everybody's participatory in the why. Why are we doing this team? What are our goals? What's the purpose of it? So everybody can be of a consensus on the why. If you don't have that down, you're not going to be very effective with your team, because people are going to come and go out of that team. Okay? And then just take action. Structure your fixed meetings, allocate jobs, move forward based on action, and you're going to have a blast. You'll have more fun with this than anything you've done in Manatech, because it's going to be so effective for you. Now when you have a meeting coming up, you can call Sarah and say, Sarah, guess what? We have a meeting coming up. Let's have a team meeting. Are you willing to do the flyer? Are you willing to do this? And you're going to be able to delegate. Instead of you being everything to everyone, you now have a core group of people. Wow, how terrific is that, tapping into all those talents? And making things happen is an easy way and a pleasant way, working as a team versus you being solo. Enough of being solo. Knock it off. Do something that serves you and serves everyone involved in the group. The final thing I put in the outline is, what kind of activities can the team participate in? And of course, this is absolutely, again, it's only bounded by your creativity and imagination. I'll tell you some of the things we do in our teams. We have like a mana mail that goes out. We put together a group of 12 people in my downline. Each one of them, why 12? Because we have 12 months in a year. Each one in the downline does a mana mail, a monthly newsletter. They draft 2 articles for the monthly newsletter. Lydia, my assistant, actually puts them together in a newsletter format, and then we send it out to everybody on the team. So you can draft one. Look at what happens to this. Everybody in my group gets 12 newsletters a year. How many do they each draft? One. So only 1 month of the year do you have to spend time drafting a newsletter, and you get 12 newsletters. That's the benefit of the teamwork. And see, that's a beautiful thing, because newsletters, to me, personal touches from you, newsletters that you can send out to new prospects, new associates, are incredible devices to help with retention, marketing, I mean, it's just reactivation. You can use them for so many purposes. I have over 200 people on my mana mail list that get these, and I'm going to tell you my response to this. I just last month, I looked at Lydia, and I said, Lydia, in one of my legs, like my ninth leg, that hadn't seen any orders for years, all of a sudden there's $1,400 of orders in one of my legs. And I go, who the heck's ordering? And she went and looked up, and she came back, and she gave me the names of the people that were ordering, and guess what? They're all on my man and mail list. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't have any phone call with them. They haven't ordered, and, you know, I've tried to reactivate them. I've sent them letters in the past, and they've had no response, but I never took them off my man and mail list. And look what happened. Because I kept them on my man and mail list every single month, they get a newsletter from Mary Jo in the mail. They started ordering. Isn't that, I mean, there is no price to put on that, people. But you know, every single one in your organization that at one time decided to take this product made a great decision about taking products and supporting their health. And I truly believe that they can go back and remake that decision. They can go back and decide again to get back on the product. They may not do it by phone call with you, but boy, reactivation programs are powerful, and putting in place retention programs like the Man of Mail is just awesome. It also helps support the people that are on the products. I want my brand new associates who just signed up, I want them getting Man of Mails for at least the first year. Why? Because that helps them keep informed. What's going on in Manatech? What's happening? New products, new things. It's great. Some of you will say to me, well, Mary Jo, but it doesn't, you know, healthy living do that. Healthy living is so independent, third-party stuff. It's not from you. You're the one that had the personal relationship, and if you don't get it really clear by now that this is a person-to-person business, you're missing what this business is all about. The people I sign up, who I became a part of their lives, and I help them formulate a program to help them with their health, they don't want to hear from Manatech. They want to hear from Mary Jo. And so Mary Jo sends them a newsletter once a month, and that's my personal touch on that, because I can't make 200 calls every month. I can't make 300 next month or 400. And we can't feasibly do that. But in the first month, they get 4 contacts from me because I have my consumer follow-up program. And then I call them a couple times in the next couple months. But after that, guess what it is? It's the Man of Mail. They still get health and living. I give them my special letters at the end of the year. But it's those kind of things that you can form a team so it's less cumbersome for you to do. It's not an activity you feel like you're spending every month, a week of every month, putting out a newsletter. You don't have to do it. Form a team. Crossline is terrific for this because you can always find a group of Crossline people to do it. So that's one thing. And I know I spent a lot of time on it because I think it's a crucial activity. I think monthly newsletters are crucial. I think they're absolutely crucial in doing the business. I see the results. I see how I've reactivated people, retained people. That's why I'm such a, you know, profound endorser of newsletters, personal newsletters. Weekly accountability, you can set up weekly accountability in your team, sharing and amassing ideas on new marketing ideas. A lot of people always are coming up and going, oh, I ran out of my warm list. Now what am I supposed to do? How do I increase visibility? There's a ton of people always looking for how-tos. And if you have a group, if you set up a team that meets once a week or once a month, and you just, everybody comes with new marketing ideas. So you share new marketing ideas. What a great source of getting your creative juices flowing. So you can use your team to do that. Crafting flowcharts or tools necessary for your business. How to evaluate your business. A lot of people get stuck. I have people stuck all the time. That's why I do coaching and mentoring with people. I got a great program going on now with a couple of my downline. It's called Presidential or Bust. I have people that say, Mary Jo, I've been committed to make presidential for 2 years. It's not happening. I say, great. We're going to do a blitz. And the feedback I'm getting from this program, from the two people in it, is just awesome. They go, I've never been as focused. And they're starting to see all the weaknesses, what they've been doing in the past. They've been waiting for it to happen. They've been sitting there being more proactive more reactive than proactive. And they just love it because they're getting a whole new focus. Well, it's a team. We set up a team to work together to make it happen for them. That's the kind of stuff that needs to happen for you. Because any new insight you get from other people and feedback is always invaluable. That's how we move forward, is feedback. Feedback, feedback, feedback. So evaluating your businesses, what ways to evaluate business, how to look at your business and twist it and turn it and look at different directions to take, all those kind of things. Evaluating new marketing materials. I think that's crucial. A lot of you go out, brand new associates, they go to a DupaPack and they buy 100 pieces of material. Well, they need some evaluation from somebody. They need somebody to say, hey, what did you think of this one? You guys need to have feedback so that you're not out there buying every Tom, Dick, and Harry's piece of material that comes along. I may do it because I want to have a sense of review of everything so I can give the feedback to my people in my organization, but I don't want my associates spending tons of money on marketing materials. because there are great things out there that we can use. And, you know, I go over this in my trainings like I did this Saturday. You know, some of the oldest materials out there are still the best. But we always are looking for the silver bullet, so we always want to buy the new stuff, replace the old stuff. I still use Miracle Sugars. I still buy those booklets by the thousands. I think it's one of the best marketing materials we've ever had in Manitech. But some people don't use it anymore because they're, oh, Mary Jo, that's old. Old? It's not old for a brand new prospect. They've never seen it before. It's old for you. But why is your judgment around that what's important? What's important is what the new prospect thinks of it. It's a great piece. So there's some things out there you need to evaluate. You need to evaluate the new things so your people don't spend thousands of dollars unnecessarily on things that probably won't work for them. Or they're better if they're things that, in your opinion, are better. You need to be able to express that opinion. You need to be able to do it in a team fashion so that you can share and hear what other people have to say. It also applies for new marketing concepts, whether it's, you know, Golden Key or it's Quantum Leap Now or it's, you know, Glyco Pro. I mean, so many, these new marketing concepts come up every single couple months. You have a brand new. Well, a lot of you jump on the bandwagon because you hear someone on a phone call and all of a sudden you're buying, you're spending $40 a month on something new. And you, if you were just sit down in a team group and get everybody to look at it and come back with how they analyze it, now at least you can hear from different people's opinions because everybody looks at it differently. And you need to hear that to understand what you might be missing. There might be something I'm missing. Why am I looking at it so differently? Why do I think this? You don't have to. I mean, just because they give you feedback doesn't mean it's truth. Feedback isn't truth. It's people's opinions. But now you're in a better posture. Take all the opinions and make an assessment and draw a conclusion on it. And that's what teamwork does for you. It gives you more insight. It gives you more opinions. It gives you more data upon which to make better decisions. So on and on and on. You can look at the whole laundry list, and of course it goes on and on. You can just, it's massive what your team can do for you in your local area to support Manitech. And it's just a matter of saying, okay, Mary Jo, I'm committed. Why are we operating outside one of the most common, most widely accepted business principles on the face of the earth, which is what? Specialization of labor. Why are we not coming from that incredible concept in our own business? Because that's not the way network marketing is structured. Excuse me? One of the beauties of network marketing is you can structure it any way you want to structure. So you want to structure it to make it most effective to you. And setting up a team is incredibly crucial. Crucial for you to move forward and be most effective. Okay, so that's what I have to say today. So teamwork is crucial. Get out there, do it. Watch what happens to the explosion of your team, yourself. Look at the stress you're going to remove from your life. It's incredible. Any comments, any feedback?
Question.
Yeah.
Question I have is relative to your monthly newsletter. If you had 11 other people writing those, would then it go out still under your name?
Yeah, what you do is you get it by a Word document, and on the, it's a universal form that we use called Manamail. Would you guys like to see it? You want me to send one of our Manamails?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
I'll send it out to everybody on the Monday call, one of our Manamails. But you can see in there where you can put your own name in like three different places. You just edit it. Okay? You just edit it. What Lydia's giving me a timeout. Oh, you can't. Oh, Lydia just told me to make sure that you know that my Manamail list is limited to my downline. I'm going to give you a format for it that you can use if you choose to do it for your own organization. But I can't put everybody on my Manamail list. So you need to form a team in your area. So don't send me a request to be on my Manamail list unless you're in my organization. And then I'm going to find your leader and get them to make sure you have it, okay? Because you can't, I can't do this for everybody in all of Manitech. What you want to do is form your own Manamail group and get, you know, in your team. That's the purpose of the team. And maybe you get only six people, so you have six people who do it twice a year. That's fine, too. Maybe you don't find 12. But I'll send you the format. You can see what it looks like. And absolutely, my name's, when I get the format in, I put my name and address. My return address is in there. When it says, for further information, contact Lydia, I put Lydia's name in there and our telephone number. But everybody in my group, in my team, goes in there and edits those three or four areas where they can put their own personal data. We also have a section that talks about local wellness forums, and we update that. So my local wellness forums might be all Dallas area, whereas your local wellness forums might be for Sacramento. depends on where you're sending all your newsletters out. If you're sending newsletters all across the country, then you might pick and choose. You might send out two different newsletters. You might do it by zip code, or you might just send one out because 90% of them are Dallas or the Fort Worth area, so you just put in the local ones. But whatever you choose to do, you can do that too. I would not suggest you send out a separate newsletter each and every town you're doing business in. That would take you months. And you want to make sure this is, keep it simple. And for you can put, for those, you say local Dallas ones, and then at the bottom you could say, for local meetings in your area, look at meeting scheduler and give them an idea where they can look on the Manitech website to find the meetings in their area. Okay? So you can list the Dallas ones, or you can list wherever you're located, and then give them a reference of where they can find local meetings. There. And that's how you use Manamail. We just came up with a word. We did it. We've been doing it for, I don't know, 3 years now. Very effective.
Are these email or snail mail?
I send them in the regular mail, because I find today the delete button is the most popular button on the computer. But you can choose to send them by email if you'd like to. It's up to you. I do it by mail because I like the personal touch again. That's what I think is important.
Thank you.
Okay, and every once in a while, I'll tell you, I get Lydia on the call. I get her to call the people on our Manamail list just to get some feedback. I have some people that say, well, I'm not really interested in starting back on the product yet, but please continue sending me the Manamail.